that still have a truly sanctuary choir. Yeah, go on and give them praise. TPC, we do it all. Spirituals, anthems, gospel. Yes, sir. I said yes, sir. It's good to be with you today. I've done a lot of traveling this summer, but tomorrow I'm leaving for a true vacation. Amen. Don't y'all be acting up now while I'm gone. Let Warfield and Taylor rest. Yes. Going to get some real rest. Going down to Myrtle Beach. Get some brown on the yellow. Yes, sir. Got to do it. But we will be back Sabbath. I'll leave a day early so that we can remember the life of Lorna McFarland next Sunday, the 23rd. This loss has really cut across this congregation. I know that. When a woman in her early 50s succumbs to cancer in just 8 weeks, it touches all of us, doesn't it? We have been driven to reflection, have we not? An earnest seeking of the Lord. Am I ready? She was diagnosed in June, first week. She died the first week of August. Folks, that's not much time. And some don't have that much time to get their house in order. Can I get a witness? So we will come together next Sunday, and the family has already expressed their deep appreciation for the love and support that has come from this amazing congregation. From the condo to the cave. Let's open our Bibles to that passage the young lady read so well. Wasn't she perky and sweet? Amen. Made you all stand up. You stood up when she said it too. I saw you. Yes, sir. She took charge of the moment. Made me proud of her. Genesis 19, she read verse 30. Now, understand that today my character study is that of Lot, nephew of Abraham. Lot and Abraham were traveling companions, and both were men of faith. Are you with me? And so I'm reading, starting in verse 30 and further, Genesis 19. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. What in the world is Lot doing in a cave? I wish the biblical passage, I wish the narrative ended there. It's going to get worse, y'all. I'm reading. Now the firstborn, these are Lot's daughters. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." It's amazing the rationale people can give for sin. Are you listening to me? So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. Folk, this is incest. And he did not know when she laid down or when she arose. This man of God was so drunk. He did not know that his own daughter had been intimate with him. Now, I told you, my opening sentence was that Lot was a man of faith. Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
It happened on the next night that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine together also, tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Then they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she laid down or when she arose. Thus both daughters of Lot were with child by their father. You almost have to spit it out. This is in the Bible. This makes days of our lives seem like child play. All my children can't come up to this. Folk, this is a royal mess involving a church member. Why y'all so quiet? Why y'all so quiet? How does a person that is described as a person of faith wind up impregnating two of his own children so drunk he doesn't know what's going on? How does that, how do Christian people get into mess? Now, theme for the year, of course, has been I serve in the first quarter, born to serve, and then designed to serve, and then a rather shaped to serve, and now risking to serve. And we've been dealing with people who have either taken unusual or experienced unusual risks as they have sought to serve the Lord. Don't deal with Lot. Let's pray. Father, guide us in this. In Jesus' name, amen. We've learned from the Charleston Nine, we've learned from Adam, and we've learned from John the Apostle, we've learned from Noah, and last week we learned from Moses. And all of the pastors have been helping us taste of this concept of risking to serve. Stay with me now. It's going to get rough today, folk. It's not going to be pleasant for you today. And so today I want to look at Lot. O'Neill, why is Lot bothering me? There's something here hidden. It's not as obvious as you think. Lot, like Abraham, was a descendant of Shem, a son of Noah. Thus, this also makes Lot a descendant of Seth. This means that Lot, folk, listen, Lot, Sister Terry, Lot came from those people that were called the sons of God. They were worshipers, according to Genesis 4:26 and Genesis 6:20, of the one true God. See, let's just face it, folk. Some of the worst things on the planet are done by good people. And this is why I get amazed sometimes when church members get all upset when someone who's in the church sins. This is news? And we just go, what? What do you mean, what? The Bible is a record of good people doing dumb stuff. Well, you don't want to say amen to the word dumb, so I'm going to help you. Amen. Yes. Dumb. What? Sabbath school teacher. What? Deacon. Oh, my. He did what? Huh? Have you read the Bible? The Bible is not a litany of bad people doing bad things. The Bible is a litany of good people doing bad things. Can I get a witness in this place? Therefore, we're not in shock about Lot, a descendant of the sons of God. Let's see what happened here. Let's see if we can get our fingers on this thing. We give so much attention to Abraham that we forget Lot was not forced to follow Abraham to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. But Lot was independently wealthy, a grown man with wife and children. He could have stayed at home in the city of Ur of the Chaldees, that great city of ancient day. He could have bid farewell to Abraham and the rest of the family of Terah, their grandfather, when they went to go to a place that God had not yet shown them. He did not scoff at their faith, the faith of Uncle Abraham. In fact, rather, Lot, listen to me, Lot displayed the same faith as our father Abraham. So we need to be more considerate of Lot. We need to celebrate who he was. Look at 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. This is an amazing piece of scripture here. 2 Peter 3, verse 6. Should I have said 1 Peter 3? Second Peter, you know, there's nothing worse than getting old. It's a terrible thing sometimes, folks. I do pretty good most time. Come on, give me the amen. I couldn't find the text. I found it, though. 2 Peter 2. Now look at this. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Now look, watch this. Verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot. What's he called? Righteous. Righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Verse 8. For that, what kind of man? Look at that. Dwelling among them, tormented his what? Righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Three times in three verses, Lot is called what? Righteous. Commandment keeper. Commandment keeper. Let me share with you just kind of a quick biblical survey. I won't read the text. I'll just refer to them. Genesis 13, 5 and 6 lets us know that Lot was a good businessman like his uncle Abraham. He had amassed considerable assets. He had so much stuff. He had as much stuff as Abraham did. Remember, they could not dwell together. He's a shrewd guy, smart. Genesis 12, 8, 13, 4, he was genuinely religious. When Abraham set up the altar to sacrifice to God, Lot was right there. Nobody had to make him get up for church. He went on his own early. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. He was uncomfortable around unrighteousness. Genesis 19, 1 and 2. When the angels showed up to destroy the city of Sodom, he went out and met them. He was hospitable. He was courteous. He wanted to protect them. Genesis 19, 3 and 7. He was known for his righteous lifestyle. Genesis 19, 9. I'm going to come back to that passage. So how does a person, y'all too calm for me today, how does a person with all these characteristics wind up sleeping with his daughters? Somebody ought to be upset in this room. How does that happen? How do you go from that to that? Something's going on here that's important to me. Because I'm afraid that somebody may be sitting in this congregation who's thinking they're handling what they're not handling. You cannot tell me for 1 minute that when Lot first started out, he, Sister Deshay, saw himself in this mess. And I'm going to show you in a few minutes how he got there. It was not overnight. Because Satan knows we Adventists are too smart for that. Yeah. All right, stick with the sermon, Henry. Stick with it. So this situation is unbelievable. Now, moving to the next section of the sermon. There is a profound contrast between Lot and Moses. Both were surrounded with a material advantage. Moses recognized the temptation and resisted it, but Lot recognized it. Now, here, I'm getting to the kernel of the sermon. Lot recognized it. He recognized the temptation of much. But he made the worst mistake that a believer can make. No, it wasn't that he chose wealth over God. That would be obvious for us to see. His error was more subtle. And before I tell you what it is, let me shape it. In Genesis 13, go to Genesis 13. There's a lot about Lot begins to appear in Genesis 13. In Genesis 13, we begin to see some things about Lot. Look at verse 7. And there was strife, you see it, between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt on the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. What's wrong with those verses? What's wrong with those verses? Somebody tell me what's wrong with those verses. Huh? You ain't got it. Here's what's wrong. Abraham's the uncle. Lot's the nephew. Who should have been doing obeisance? Lot! See, one of the early signs that a believer has not yet faced themselves is when they still continue to put themselves first. Now, we haven't really gotten to the problem yet. I'm setting you up. But that's one of the first signs. It should have been Lot saying, Abram, you're my uncle. Choose what land you want. If you go left, nephew will go right. If you go right, nephew will go left. But he puts himself first in the situation. Now I'm beginning to smell a little problem. Next thing we see, Genesis 13, 10 and 11. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. You see that there? That it was well watered everywhere before the Lord. Destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah like the garden of the Lord. Sodom and Gomorrah were so beautiful, they looked like the Garden of Eden. Like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for... Notice how the Bible punches at him. For Lot chose how? For himself. Don't miss that. Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. He was infested with the disease of capitalism, which is that bigger is better, more expensive is better. You do know You do know, you do know that a Ford will go as far as a Rolls Royce. You do know that, don't you? Have you noticed? Yeah. Both run on gas. Have you noticed that? Both have air conditioning. Come on now. But if somebody rolls up in a Royce, oh. And the guy with the Ford, he's making his payments. I just had to kind of get that one in there. Yeah, much is better and more expensive is better and more is better. Lot was captured by titles and phrases that make you feel better than another and self-important. Have you noticed what they do to us? They will build a subdivision and they will call it. They don't call it so-and-so bottoms. So-and-so heights. And we're very careful to make sure that people know I live in so-and-so estates. That's all the same land that the bottoms are on now. Come on now. Bottoms over yonder, estates over here. And the thing is, you're never going to own any of it. You know you don't own your house. Say, well, house is paid for. You don't own it. Miss paying your taxes. You'll find out who owns it. Come on, somebody. We get wrapped up in this stuff. I'm setting you up. I'm getting you ready now. Getting you ready. So Lot had issues. See, we've not yet been successful. Look at your faces. We've not yet been successful of purifying the church of worldly standards. That's right, so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so has just joined the church. You ought to get to know them. Well, why shouldn't I get to know the person who walked in with dreads and jeans on? Why do I have to get to know the doctor? See how we are? Boy, y'all quiet today. I told you it wasn't going to be pleasant, so loosen up. Say amen. Lot had issues. And these issues are going to lead him somewhere. Now, verse 12 really begins to open the door. Watch verse 12. You're looking at it. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan. And Lot, I love the way the young lady read it. And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent. What's the next words? Even as far as Sodom. I love Hebrew. Hebrew makes it clear that Lot, Dr. Deshay, did not move to Sodom overnight. Even as far. Come on, David. He moved incrementally towards Sodom. Can I get a witness in this place? God knows that Seventh-day Adventists, devil knows that Seventh-day Adventists, way too smart. We ain't going to just start drinking right away. Get a little wine cooler first. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Yeah, a little bit of alcohol. We're not going to just pick up a great big old bottle of Jack Daniels. No, we're going to start with a cooler. Just a little bit of alcohol. We're going to just move towards Sodom, sip by sip. Is the pastor preaching now? Somebody say amen for the pastor. Yes, it's all in the text. I read the text. The text said, even as far. We're getting closer now. We ain't there yet. I've not yet told you Lot's problem. But we're getting there. So there's three things we learn about Lot. I got three more, but they'll come up later in the sermon. So here you are. By the time you get to Genesis 19, go there. And verse 1. Lot has a condo in Sodom. I'm looking at it. I'm just reading the Bible, y'all. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He said, "Here now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house. Ain't no tent now." Smelling camels and sniffing donkeys is over. Now, what you need to note is, if you take the age of Abraham as revealed in chapter 12 and the age of Abraham as revealed in chapter 20, then we figure out that there have been 25 years. He moved from the tent to the condo over a period of 25 years. See, that's how sin works, y'all. I need somebody to wake up. Somebody needs to wake up. You're slipping and sliding step by step, piece by piece, lie by lie, incident by incident. You're not running toward it. So since you're not running toward it, it doesn't look like you're going there at all. But when you look back, you see how far you've come. I didn't stop going to church all of a sudden. I stopped missing one Sabbath a month. Then two didn't seem bad. One, going once a month seemed just fine. And look up, I'm not going to church at all. Over a period of 25 years, he moved from his tent to the condo. And I believe he was in the Heights. Because Lot was wealthy. Yeah, he was up there, and you know, I don't know where the wealthy places are because I don't, you know, I can't afford that. But y'all know, some of y'all know where they are. He was up yonder, gated community out here. Yeah, private guards and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, bring my car around to the front. I'll be down in 5 minutes. Oh, Lot, stay with the pastor. So Satan with craftiness led Lot down the road to spiritual compromise. Uh-oh, I'm getting close now. Not suddenly, but so gradually that Lot did not notice the 25-year descent. Now, my next sentence is in red. I'm going to read it word for word. If you're going to risk losing the world to serve God, you cannot then turn around and risk losing God by half-stepping when it comes to right and wrong. Now I'm beginning to nail it. Watch this next sentence. Satan doesn't mind you doing right as long as you don't stop doing wrong. Was that a good sentence? Let's do it again. Satan does not mind. Wow. Keep the Sabbath. Return tithe. He doesn't mind all the right you do as long as there's some wrong you won't turn loose of. Why is this important? See, go back to chapter 14. Now, first of all, notice in that chapter what a bad brother Abraham was. Abraham, this brother was so wealthy, he put together an army of 318 people out of his household. Why don't you just give Abraham a good amen? Abraham didn't call no 911. He said to his servants, "Put your guns on. Let's take care of it ourselves." And so he's rescued by his own uncle. Now, what I find interesting in chapter 14, when this war breaks out in the Mesopotamian Valley between these nine kings, four on one side, five on the other, Sodom is on the losing side. Lot and his family get captured, which tells to me they're not yet in the city in chapter 14. They're on the outside, that's why they got taken. Remember, he got there slowly, okay? What happens in chapter 14? I want the saints to stay awake. What happens in chapter 14 shows you how God and the devil sometimes work together. Lot's capture was a warning from God to get away from Sodom. But Satan used the same event to give Lot an excuse to move into Sodom. Are y'all listening to the pastor today? See, when your mind, Richard Gordon, good to see you, man. When your mind is not made up to do right all the time, then you always give Satan a sliver in your brain. So the capture should have said loud to Lot, get on away from Sodom. These are idiots here. They fight one another. Get on back to Abraham. The devil said, no. If you'd been behind them walls, you wouldn't have been captured. So you decide to spend your tithe, and God lets all hell break loose. This happens, that happens. Satan says, no. Next time, save your tithe. Put it in the bank. You'd be ready for any emergency. And blind you to the fact that you ain't discussing your money. And see, everybody should have said amen. So let me remind you for a few minutes. Tithe is not your money. You ain't got no reason making no decisions about tithe. Okay. Okay. So let's get to the main issue. Lot has been in or near the city for 25 years. The wickedness has been so potent that God comes down to deal with it. And after informing Abraham, and Abraham pleading for mercy, two angels came to earth with Jesus, remain and go into Sodom to execute judgment. Jesus goes on back to heaven. Lot displays courtesy and concern as he sees the strangers arrive at the gate. And the fact that Lot is at the gate suggests that he had already gained favor with the Sodomites, because the gate was the place of prestige. Only people with money sat at the gate. So it's become accepted to the Sodomites. He seeks to protect the angels from the immoral desires of the men in the city. Word gets out about the new visitors. They're handsome and tall, and the lusts of the Sodomites are stirred. They come to the Lot's home and stand outside demanding access. Lot shows that he's not been able to resist his double life. Lot shows in chapter 19 that he's not been able to resist his double life. He offers his daughter, his innocent daughter, to these men. See, I got to pause, Anwar, and I got to tell the saints, don't ever say what you would never do. If your life is not wrapped up in Christ and his word, you can wind up doing anything. He offers his virgin daughters to these beasts. And then the men respond by saying something that nails the sermon. Chapter 19, verse 9. We're about to go home now. And they said to Lot, stand back! Then they said, this one man came in here to stay, and he keeps acting as a judge. What do these words imply? Let me tell you. Lot's been in the city for 25 years. He's been witnessing, come on, y'all, and scolding and warning. He's even been doing some instructing, maybe gave some Bible study. Well, you say, what's wrong with that? nothing by itself. But now Lot's dilemma and Lot's sin and deception comes forth. Lot was trying to do good while participating in bad. That's the problem. And when you do that, the good you do around sinners is muffled by the compromises that sinners see you make. Risking to serve means we have to reach the point, folk, where there's no more half-stepping. Let the church say amen. Amen. We have to have a certain sound. Second Peter speaks of Lot being vexed by the wickedness around him, but he would not leave the wickedness around him. Your friends are not Adventists. They know of your devotion to the Sabbath. They may know that you don't eat certain things, but they also know that you laugh at the same dirty jokes they laugh at and watch the same dirty movies they watch because you laugh and watch with them. Your special person in your life may not be an Adventist, may not even be a Christian. They know there are things that vex your Christian sensibilities, but you go on and go to places of questionable entertainment with them, and upon occasion, you go to bed with them, all in the name of love and the good you say, even so well said, is drowned out by the loudness of your compromise. You cannot witness for Jesus with mud on your feet. It's time to follow the injunction of the good old hymn, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, you return a faithful tithe and offering, but with the same hands that reach into the wallet and return the tithe, you now reach into that same wallet with the same hand and spend money on pornographic material. Or on the same computer where you read the writings of Ellen White and you close the door to your home office and search the web for sites that poison your mind. Lot and you have such a mixed witness that you have no idea that you have moved to Sodom and live in a penthouse built by the devil. Lot scares me to death because the lots are sitting in church. The lots don't miss prayer meeting. The lots always give their time. He scares me because Lot is blind. And so these men say to Lot, you've been here 25 years. We know you can't correct us. You don't worship our gods, but you like the same club we like. Don't tell us what we can't do. No, you may not have these kind of desires, but you have other desires, Lot. We've seen you. Don't tell me about your Sabbath. I don't want to hear about what you don't eat. What I know is you got your stuff. We got our stuff. Shut up, Lot. I declare unto the church with all the energy of my soul that in these last days, ladies and gentlemen, we have to move from standing on each side of the line. If God's people are going to be witness in these last days, we must come all the way over where Christ is and stay there. There cannot be no back and forth. And our children see our foolishness and our dissimulation, and we wonder why they will not join the church. They've seen you at home. They know what kind of movies you watch. They hear you curse when you get angry. They ain't joining this church. They ain't coming in here. They've seen our mixed messages. They've heard our sometimes up and sometimes down. Somebody in Tacoma Park needs to get upset and decide, I will not be the devil's tool anytime. I will stand for right though the heavens fall. It's time for somebody to get upset. And so my last 3 points. Chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. I told you I had three more about Lot. He's indecisive when he needs to be decisive. The angel said, come on, man, get out of here. And he's, but I gotta. And not now, now, now. For everybody sitting in this room, there's a now. There's a time when the angels will not wait. Somebody right now in this room needs to hear God sing. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Next Sabbath, you ain't got next Sabbath. You don't have this afternoon. But it's hard to leave Sodom. It's hard to get away from it. It's all in the pores of my mind. Next, Genesis 19, 17 through 22. Even when the city has destroyed his life and family, he says to the angel after he leaves Sodom, can I go to a smaller city? Lord, okay, I'll give up online pornography. But can I order Playboy? I'm going to say it. It steps all over me. It steps all over you. At some point, you got to try something new. Here's what it is. Giving up sin altogether. Just giving up altogether. Stop making excuses. Stop letting any part of your brain be territory for Satan. Let me go to this little city. And of course, it winds up, he couldn't stay there. And then, of course, number six, he winds up lost in moral direction. Gentlemen, let's put that quote I gave you from Faith Charleston Prophets, page 158. Ready? Let's read. Come on, everybody. Come on. Every act of life. I need to hear you. Every act of life, however small, has its bearing for good or for evil, faithfulness or neglect what are apparently the smallest duties, may open the door for life's riches or its greatest. He pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. Step by step, little by little, until right looked like wrong and wrong seemed kind of right. Come on, Anwar. I'm worried about you. I've come to love you. There are just too many lots attending Tacoma Park Church. And the kind of reason we use is interesting to me. Pastor, I ain't what I need to be. I ain't what I used to be. That sounds good. Everybody says, amen. That's as far as you want to get? That's your goal? I read my Bible, the same one you got. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. God's got bigger plans for your spirituality than the goals you set. He actually believes you can be an overcomer. Come on, somebody. God's got more faith in you than you got in yourself. God believes you can put down the smallest sin. Do you believe it? Or are you content at the level where you are? Pastor, Sodom ain't that bad. You can still keep the Sabbath in Sodom. There's an Adventist church right down the street there in Sodom. Well, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Wait, Anwar. Listen to the words of this song. It's an old hymn.
I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare.
Lot could have rewritten the Bible. Remember the conversation between Jesus and Lot? Going to destroy the city. If there'd be 50. Okay. Abraham thought about it. 45. Okay. Abraham had been around Sodom for a while. 45 is high. How about 40? Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I don't want to bug you, Lord, but and I know you're on a mission, but I'm just thinking about Sodom and how things are there. How does 30 hit you? No problem. Notice, the Lord never argues with it. Oh, no problem. Okay, 30. He's feeling pretty good. We're on a roll. Okay. All right. Last time Abraham, he got near Sodom. Peradventure 20? Yeah. Fine 20? You got it. 10. 10, Lord. If I find 10, I'll do it. Now watch this. Lot and his wife, 2. Lot's 2 daughters were virgins, 4. He went to see his sons-in-law, which means they were married to 2 of his daughters. That's 4 more. 8. 8. 8. 2 short of 10. Why weren't there 10? Lot's witness was so weak, he couldn't even win somebody outside his family. And we're going to win Tacoma Park. We're going to change this city. Hey! We got to get ourselves together. Hey, I said we got to get ourselves together. I said we've got to get ourselves together. What's interesting, there was no indication that if Lot had said 5, Jesus wouldn't have said yes. Not only had this compromise, listen to me, caused Lot not to win one person outside his family. But even Abraham in his faith underestimated the love of God. The question is, why did Abraham stop asking? There's something going on in your life. You're doing all the obvious right stuff, but there's something. And your witness is being stymied, and you know it. I don't want nobody to stand up. I don't want nobody to raise their hand. I want you to bow your head. Take it to Jesus. I'm not interested in knowing who's got problems today. Lot's problem, while doing right, he just wouldn't stop doing wrong. What is it? What is it? Take it to Jesus. Please don't sit there and just pray that the appeal is short. Take it to Jesus. Okay? Make this a real moment for you and God. Take it to Jesus. Ambrose is going to sing another verse. And while he sings, my final invitation. I know that a lot of folk don't like to get up and come down.